Chapter 9. Take Flight. The eye of the final firework roared outside the room, its bass rumble forcing the window panes to quiver in fear as the gears of the clock tower chugged onward, unafraid. The room was showered in a flash of gold that ringed the Lord Ascendant in a halo of revealing light, bending the shadows in all the wrong ways. It was like the Almighty's truth, but wreathed discordantly around something it ought not. The Lord Ascendant's red mask hugged his visage, framing it with high cheekbones and stump-like horns that protruded faintly from the brow. Each burned an angry cardinal in the light, and then faded so that only his silvery eyes could be seen glowing from the mask's slits, just as Ava's had been moments ago. Somewhere between the fireworks frizzing, dying sparks, grinding of the clock's gears, and Gith Franz's betrayal, Ava seemed to have lost her heartbeat. And then it returned, in a splash of fury as her body trembled beneath the heat of her love's hand, a touch that no longer felt familiar or warm. Ava struggled to break free, but Franz held her in place, his grip like iron. The tingles were still there, if only faintly, and she could feel the small sash Franz carried with him, dangling loosely from his hand.
"The power, it's still here,"
Ava thought, snapping for the sash. She easily wrested it free from him, as he had been more focused on holding her in place.
"Please work, please."
Surging with touch, she tried to force the same feeling as before, and as if by command, the thin silk turned into a dirk. Stabbing for Franz's thigh, she just barely missed as he released her and retreated just out of harm's way.
"Ava, stop!"
Franz pleaded, his face pale, fear written across every last inch of his expression. Uncaring, Ava sprinted past him, the sash already having reverted, and toward the open window. The Lord Ascendant had not moved, but she was certain there was no way she could get past the assassin and down the stairs. Which left? Franz slammed into the side of her, sending them sprawling harshly to the ground. Rolling to the side, Ava was able to kick him off her with a dark scream, but Franz was bigger, stronger, and more acquainted with his powers. Blood ran from her nostrils and stained her cheeks. Shrieking, Ava rose to flee once more, but he touched her pants and turned it into a heavy laden weight. Stumbling, she rammed into another desk, this one laden with tools and contraptions. Ava went down once more. Beside her, half-lidded eyes stared back at her from the great unknown, the maintenance man she had killed before. And beside him was her pistol, kicked nearby by the ensuing scuffle.
"Ava,"
Franz said, standing over her.
"Please, you cannot win this any more than I can.
You betrayed me. I trusted you, Gith Franz. How could you do this?"
Ava reached slowly, grabbing the gun and using the large blue sash around her body to hide her intent.
"They took my family, Ava. You don't understand. If I don't do this, they would have hurt everyone else around me, you included. This was the only way to save everyone."
Ava snorted, taking careful note as the Lord Ascendant slowly walked around the periphery of the room until he stood framed beneath the window. Behind Franz, the masked head cocked, as if observing something deeply curious.
"And your answer is to betray me? Betray everyone who was involved and ruin everything? Almighty forgive you, Franz!"
Ava spat. Her words were strong, so why did she feel so weak inside? Her heart was breaking, torn asunder by Franz's treachery. She had loved him, still loved him, and she had thought he too felt the same. Only for him to do this.
"I didn't betray you. And what do you call this? Do you expect me to believe that the damn Lord Ascendant is on our side? The side of truth? The side of valor? What did he promise you, Gith Franz? Gifts? Your family in a nice position amongst his black coats?"
"He promised,"
Franz said slowly, clearing his throat,
"amnesty for all of us, your father included." "You betrayed my father? The one who taught you to think for yourself?"
Ava gasped. What had once been the most wondrous memory of his lips upon hers now made her sick to the stomach.
Of course not! I'm not a monster!
Franz choked.
We knew,
the Lord Ascendant said, with that withering voice of his.
We knew because we tortured it out of Orion, although I think the professor knew him as Krebs. We had plans to arrest Dirk Orl tonight, but I thought it prudent to get a more accurate picture of his plans. I must say, thank you, Dirk Ava, for making my job exceedingly easy. The man you killed on the way up those steps was an implant into my forces, trained and recruited by your father himself. So, another assassination averted, and all because of you two. What your dear compeer means to convey is I forced him into this situation, but not without reward. The very same ones I would like to offer to you, Dirk Ava. I will give you everything you desire. Freedom for your family. Purpose. Truth. And I will teach you what it means to be Ascendant.
The Lord Ascendant stretched his hands invitingly toward Ava. They were elderly hands, but still much too young to match the weather of his ancient voice. Below, in the square, a bellow of horn signaled the release of the Lord Prime's most prized butterflies. Hulking shapes of incandescent colors took flight as the insects beat their wings furiously toward freedom, the mark of a new beginning.
Join me.
I would,
Ava said, propping herself up onto her elbow and clicking back the hammer of her pistol.
But unlike Gith Franz, I still believe in valor, and I am its shield.
Whipping the pistol forth, she felt the ravage of rage outweigh the shakes as she squeezed the trigger. Today, she would take a life. Slamming the hammer downward sparked a dash of smoke, spewing in a slather of sparks and heat. Squinting, Ava kept her aim true. And although she would have loved nothing more than to shoot Franz through the gullet, her true target stood just behind him. In the short period that her pistol took to propel the bearing, Franz had enough time to throw himself to the side. But the Lord Ascendant was not so lucky. Ava's arm jerked from the weapon's power, nearly in tandem with the Lord Ascendant's. In a flurry, he weaved his arms through the air, and just as quickly, a strip of cloth flitted harmlessly to the ground.
You must know that would never work against me,
the Lord Ascendant sighed, almost wearily.
I didn't expect it to,
Ava yelled, her body erupting in a sensation of tingles. Using the fog of war, she jumped to her feet and dashed to the center of the gear room. There, a bevy of clockwork gears, small and large, carried out their endless duty in powering the ticking hands just outside the glass. She could not say how she did it, except she simply did. Touching the largest gear, she turned it into a massive blanket and tore it free, sending the other gears into a jarring jumble of screeching metal. Pieces sprawled behind her as she threw the blanket with all her diminutive might. The blanket reverted into a monstrous gear the moment it was free of her grip, tumbling hungrily toward the Lord Ascendant, its gears tearing splinters out of the wooden flooring.
Take that!
Ava yelled as she charged toward the Lord Ascendant. Surprisingly, the Lord Ascendant hardly moved as he effortlessly sidestepped the gear. Touching its side, he turned it back to the blanket and wheeled it toward Ava, releasing the touch so that the gear now threatened to crush her. Two can play that game. Ava grimaced, preparing to touch it once more. But the tingles abandoned her. She barely avoided the gear as it sailed past, but found herself caught up in something else, a silvery black powder thrown from a pouch by the Lord Ascendant's hand. Reaching soft hands outward, as if in prayer, his eyes glowed pure white as he touched the strange dust. In a breath, Ava found herself wrapped in layers upon layers of cloth. Gagging, she even felt it materialize within her mouth, blocking the air. Tears welled at the edges of her eyes as she was torn from her feet and pulled toward the Lord Ascendant. The cloth was sheer enough that she could make out its form, pulling her along by its ends. Struggling to break free, Ava was no more than a haddock caught by the fisherman's net. Tearing at the cloth, she tried to use her kiat to rip through the layers, but any time she made progress, the Lord Ascendant would twist and touch the fabric so that it swam about her like a living beast, intent on containing her.
This is impossible. How is he holding a touch for so long?
She'd only seen Franz hold a change for a few seconds at most. Everything the Prime's assassin did was wrong, from how old he sounded to his ascendancy and his manipulation of its powers. There was the sound of running feet as Ava fell to her knees. Surely it was Franz come to restrain her once more. It was hard to tell. Her lungs burned from the lack of air, and the cloth in her mouth provided no reprieve as her vision began to grow hazy. She knew what was happening to her, but almighty, it was nothing like the way stories made it seem. In the fables, the heroes always lost consciousness slowly, and it was always described in a way that made it seem like they were going to sleep. Nowhere did it say the affair was painful, leaving her racked with fear and drenched in sweat, and alone with the all-consuming thrum of her heartbeat. When the musket fired, Ava was half certain it had just been her own pulse or a hallucination. But suddenly, the cloth disappeared as quickly as it had appeared. Hunched aside the wall was the Lord Ascendant, his hands pressed into the side of an increasingly growing model of blood along his abdomen.
"Stop her!"
he yelled, pointing at Ava. But Gith Franz was already face down on the ground, as her rescuer slammed the haft of their musket into his temple.
"Mute!"
Ava choked. But of course, the short, burly man could not respond. Pulling her to her feet, Mute dropped the musket, pulled free a pistol with a flip, and fired a round at the Lord Ascendant, who was pushing toward them. Growling, the Lord Ascendant was forced onto the defense, and although slower from his wound, he still managed to touch the bearing. But this time, he could not deny them their escape. Half running and half dragging Ava, Mute leaped from the window, leading her forth from the smoke-smothered gear room. A thin line of haze followed them as the frigid air kissed their faces.
"We did it!"
Ava screamed. But the thrill quickly turned to terror as a curdling yelp left Mute's tongueless mouth. Swarms of flying insects scattered around them, some the size of rats, and others that of a mammoth. The butterflies scattered about them, questing for the freedom of the night sky and the moonlight's embrace. Clutching Mute by the forearm, Ava scrabbled for something to hold on to, but the insects flapped lazily aside, always just out of reach. Mute bellowed, motioning to one they might land on. But just as quickly as it presented itself, the butterfly banked listlessly to the side before rising up and away. They were falling, right into the pavilion below. Above her, she could hear the Lord Ascendant yelling something, but it did not matter. Not now. Squeezing her eyes shut, she tried to recall all the good things in life. But Ava's mind remained fixated on that kiss. The best thing in her life. But why did it also have to be the worst? She would never know a true kiss. Mute yelled again, but this time it was different. Hopeful? Opening her eyes, she saw what he did. A smaller, cart-sized, silver-winged butterfly covered in blue fuzz, flitting just below them. Crashing onto it, they managed to scrabble a hold. The butterfly jolted downward haphazardly, and for a moment, she thought that it would still crash into the commons. But thankfully, it managed to find its wings once more. Straining, it rose thunderously, inches above the awed crowd's head. Panicked, the butterfly strained with great haste as shots and shouts rang out. Musket balls whizzed by, but none came close at this distance. Hazarding a look back, she saw the Lord Prime being hustled away by his guard, and most importantly, Sam Revian and Vern Bagata cutting down Krebs amongst the chaos. A puppy dog smile splashed across Ava's face as she began to laugh hysterically. She looked over at Mute to see him doing the same. Granted, his smile was more a wild grimace, and his laugh a harsh staccato, but Ava could not bring herself to care.
"You saved me, Mute," she said. "I don't care what anyone says about you. You are Valor's shield through and through. Thank you, my friend."
Mute's harsh features returned back to their usual stony ridges as he nodded solemnly.
"Ava,"
he said, trying to say her name. He then jabbed a finger into her shoulder and said a series of sounds that sounded eerily like Ascendant.